Dr. Keenan, it's my privilege to welcome you at this point in tonight. Dr. Keenan Bridges has travelled from Tampa, Florida, to be here tonight via kind of the Gold Coast. So it's a bit of a flight. And he has, last time he was here, talk about what 3 years will do. He had three children that I can recall 3 years ago. Now he has five. So do the math, that's pretty good. Although I think maybe it was four last time. Married and pastors a church in Tampa, Florida called Grace and Peace Global Fellowship. Is that correct? And so we're very, very blessed to have him here. I'd love you to stand with me. And we're going to welcome him and give him an Aussie welcome. Give him a Sydney welcome. And brother, come forward.
Amen. Hallelujah. Well, let's just remain standing for a few moments as we worship the Lord. How many know that you were created to worship God? So you shouldn't get tired worshiping God. If you get tired worshiping Him now, you're going to have a problem when you get to heaven. Okay? So let's lift our hands and go before Him tonight. Father, we thank You and we honor You. We thank You for Your presence tonight. Thank You for Your anointing. Thank You, Lord, that the host of angels are even here tonight witnessing the miracle of transformation in Australia. Thank You, Lord, for a spirit of awakening over this land. Thank You, Father, that we will never be the same again. We covenant with You to be transformed by the power of Your love. And God, we thank You that You remove the shackles of bondage. You open our eyes in the spirit, Lord God. You liberate us, Father, even from ourselves. And God, I thank You that the spirit of vain religion will not have any expression here tonight. But we want the freedom of the spirit. We want the freedom of the spirit to be able to worship You in spirit and in truth. Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. One more time, Hosanna. Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. Come on, just begin to worship Him right there. Come on, open your mouth, begin to worship Him. Come on, open your mouth, begin to worship Him. We love You, Jesus, tonight, God. We love You, Lord, tonight, we do. We bless Your name, oh God. We bless Your name, oh God. We give You glory in this place tonight, God. We give You glory in this place tonight, God. Oh, we bless Your name. We give You all the glory tonight, Jesus. Landanamosuriya la makanda babasiye. Rorabashuriya la makoriya namasi. Rosala Mareoria Nasia Naka. Oh Lord. Randa Balava Suriana Mokoriana Make. Yeremo Sorianda Bocondiana. Oh La Masia La Maconda Sianda Kia. We praise you, Lord Jesus, tonight, God. Lona masoria na mokora masia. Yes, we praise you, Lord Jesus. Yes, we thank you, Lord Jesus. Holy are you, Lord God Almighty. Worthy is the Lamb. Worthy is the Lamb. You are holy. Holy are you, Lord God Almighty. Who worthy is the Lamb? Who worthy is the Lamb? You are holy. Holy are you, Lord God Almighty. Who worthy is the Lamb? Who worthy is the Lamb? You are holy. One more time. Holy are you, Lord God Almighty. Who worthy is the Lamb? Worthy is the Lamb. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We welcome your presence here tonight. Let everything that is spoken be that which is ordained and commissioned by you, that you alone may be glorified. Father, glorify yourself tonight. Magnify yourself tonight, Lord. Thank you for healing the sick tonight, Father. Thank you for opening blinded eyes tonight. Thank you for confirming your word with signs and wonders and miracles. Thank you for a spirit of awakening tonight. Lord, we let go and let God tonight. We trust you to do what you desire to do. shift us, shake us, break us, transform us for your glory. We give you praise in Jesus' name. All who agreed said, amen, amen, and amen. You may be seated if you can. Hallelujah. Am I in the right place? Are you sure? They told me that Queensland was better than New South Wales. Well, you have to prove them wrong tonight. So you have to, you know, I'm from America, so we tend to be a little bit on the louder side. How many know that about America is going to be a little bit louder? And so as we're teaching tonight, as we're sharing things, I want you, if it resonates with you, I want you to shout amen. Let's try it one more time. Say amen. No, not like that. Let's try it in a real strong way. If it resonates with you, shout amen. That was almost close. That was like Canada. That was a Canada amen. How about a USA amen? You ready for it? On three, we're going to shout amen. One, two, three.
Amen.
There you go. That's a little bit better. Amen. You got it. So I'm excited tonight, and I want to deposit, and I want to be very precise, very, very direct in what the Lord has given me for such a time as this. But I want you to be sensitive to the Spirit of God. Amen? So I want you to do this. Lift your hands real quick. Just lift your hands. Say, Father.
Father.
Let's say it like you mean it. Say, Father.
Father.
Come on, from your spirit. Say, Father.
Father.
I let go
of control.
Say that one more time. Say, Father.
Father.
I let go
of control.
And I grant you permission to manifest yourself to me and with me. Holy Spirit, have your way in my life tonight. In Jesus' name. Amen. Yeah. That's right. It's a dangerous prayer to pray. I want to thank Pastor Dave and Eve Nathan for this opportunity in the Hive Church. Give yourselves a round of applause for that. My dear friend Carlene is here. Give her a round of applause. And all who came tonight, give yourselves a round of applause. Amen. There's so much I want to share, but there's so little time to share it in. So what I want you to do is I want you to partner with me to allow God to say what he wants to say. I don't believe I'm here on just a ministry tour or to speak. You can do that anywhere. That's not special. But what is special is the time and the season that we are in. I believe with all of my heart that it's time for Australia to see the reason for which God birthed this nation. It is time for Australia to come into her purpose and her destiny. It is time for Australia to see revival and awakening. It's time for this land to be transformed by the power of God. How many believe that? I said it's time for this land to be transformed by the power of God. And so I'm gonna confront some things in the spirit. I'm gonna make some deposits in your life tonight that I believe will change you if you'll receive them. So I want you to listen, but I want you to receive. Amen.
Amen.
And I want you to receive actively, not passively. Are you listening? So I want to give you this word, and then we'll go into just, you know, we'll flow with it. Go to Isaiah chapter 43. I want you to see this. And this is a prophetic word for Australia, but it's also a prophetic word for you individually. Okay? It's a prophetic word for Australia, but for you as an individual. Somebody say it's for me.
It's for me.
No, so you're still being Australians. You got to be Americans tonight. Somebody say it's for me.
It's for me.
It's for me. Amen. So everything that comes forth tonight, it's for you. So you have to possess that word and make it your own. I don't want you to think about, you know, Sister Janice should be here tonight and this would just be a great word for her. No, it's for you.
Amen.
Amen. Okay, Isaiah chapter 43. Verse 1. But now thus says the Lord that created you, O Jacob, and he that formed you, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by my name. You are mine. I declare that Australia belongs to the Lord. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And when you go through the rivers, they shall not overflow you. When you walk through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, the Savior. I gave Egypt for thy ransom and Ethiopia and Seba for you. Since thou wast precious in my sight, thou hast been honorable, and I have loved thee. Therefore I will give men for you and people for your life. Fear not, for I am with you. I will bring your seed from the east and gather them from the west. I will say to the north, give up, and to the south, keep not back. Bring my sons from afar and my daughters from the ends of the earth, even everyone that is called by my name. For I have created him for my glory. I formed him, yea, I have made him. Bring forth the blind people that have eyes and the deaf that have ears. Let all the nations be gathered together, and let the people be assembled, whom among them can declare this and show us former things. Let them bring forth their witnesses that they may be justified, or let them hear and say it is truth. You are my witnesses, says the Lord, and my servant whom I have chosen, that you may know and believe me and understand that I am he. Before me there was no God formed, neither shall there be after me. I, even I, the Lord, and beside me there is no Savior. I have declared and have saved. I have showed when there was no strange God among you. Therefore, you are my witnesses, says the Lord, that I am God. Yea, before the day was, I am he, and there is none that can deliver out of my hand. I will work, and who shall let it? Thus says the Lord, your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, for your sake I've sent to Babylon and have brought down all their nobles and the Chaldeans whose cry is in the ships. I am the Lord, your Holy One, the Creator of Israel, your King. Thus says the Lord, which makes a way in the sea and a path in the mighty waters. Verse 17, which bring forth the chariot and horse, the army and the power. They shall lie down together. They shall not rise. They are extinct. They are quenched as tow. Here's the word for you tonight. Are you ready for it? I said, are you ready for it tonight? I said, are you really ready for it tonight? Remember not the former things, neither consider the things of old. Behold, I will do a new thing. Oh, I'm not in the right church tonight. I said, behold, I will do a new thing. It shall spring forth. Shall you not know it? I will even make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. The The Lord desires to do a new thing. He desires to do a new thing in your life and in your land. He desires to do a new thing in this season. This is a new season for you. It's a new season for your family, a new season for your nation, a new season for your people. But the biggest enemy of the new is not the devil. The biggest enemy of the new is the old. Can I really share what I want to share tonight? I mean, can I really just let loose and just give it to you? Are you sure you can handle that? God says, I'm doing a new thing. I'm doing a new thing. The Lord gave me a vision. I was praying. And the Lord, the way he speaks to me is very interesting. He speaks to me in images and colorful things that I'm an artist. I went to art school when I was younger. And he speaks to me with creative things. And what I saw, watch this. You ever seen those things called Skittles? You have those in Australia? And the theme is Taste the Rainbow. That's the theme of the Skittle commercial. And I saw, I was praying, and as I was praying, it was Skittles. They were raining from the sky. Every color. And God was telling me then that I'm doing a new thing. But it will only be enjoyed by those who can perceive it. And this is what he's going to do. He says, I'm going to make a way in the wilderness. In other words, the place that was once barren is about to be an oasis in the middle of the desert. What looks unpredictable, it doesn't look like it should be a river. God says, I'm going to make a way in the wilderness, and I'm going to cause rivers to flood in the dry places. He's going to make a way in the wilderness. But I want to share something with you. Because what I want to break tonight over Australia, this is going to get deep. Y'all ready for this? Yep. What I want to break over Australia is a spirit of witchcraft. Yes. You say, what are you talking about, witchcraft? Well, let me give you a simple form of witchcraft that maybe you haven't thought about. It's not some ancient African or Aboriginal, or it's not some stuff and some artifacts. That's not the witchcraft I'm talking about. Though there are forms of witchcraft, that's not the most dangerous form. The most dangerous form of witchcraft in this nation is veiled in religion, and it's called manipulation and control. The spirit of control. It has killed more revivals, has snuffed out more moves of God than any shaman, any soothsayer, any psychic or diviner there is. And it's in the churches. Oh, I'm going to get in trouble, but that's okay. Because I'm leaving after a while, so I can just, you can sweep it up after I'm gone. I'll just. In other words, what am I saying? What we've done is that we were sharing at the coffee table. We have asked God for things that we are not prepared to receive. Pastors are praying for a move of God, but how can God move when you're controlling what God wants to do? And the root of control is fear. And the root of fear is pride. And the root of pride is self. And the new thing God is doing requires you to get out of yourself. You got to get out of yourself. You got to get out of God's way. God doesn't need your help to do it. All he wants is your obedience and your willingness and your yes. He doesn't need your help. God's doing a new thing. I said, God's doing a new thing.
Yes.
And what he's doing is so magnanimous that it goes beyond anything you could comprehend in your framework. We often say things like, God, do what you did in Toronto. Do what you did in the 80s, do what you did in the 70s, do what you did in the 90s, do what you did in Brownsville, do what you did in Lakeland, do what you did. God says no. Because that's old. I'm doing a new thing. I'm doing something new. You've never seen it before. It's new. It's supernatural. When a river comes through the desert, it's by the power of the Holy Spirit. God's turning dry places and he's making them into an oasis. Well, I feel that right there. That feels good. God's doing a new thing. Something that you've never seen before. Listen to this. Listen. You remember when the disciples, Jesus said, listen, I'm going to meet you on the other side of the Sea of Galilee. And by night, they were on the Sea of Galilee, and Jesus walked on the water. You know what the Bible says? You would think that the disciples would have been happy to see him. They saw him multiply bread. They saw him heal the sick, cleanse lepers. They saw him do resurrections. So you would just think that they would be excited. Oh, man, look at Jesus is doing something new. But they were afraid. Why? He came in a way he never came before. What if I told you that God's about to show up in your life in a way you've never seen him before? Oh, come on, Australia. He's coming to you in a way you've never seen him before. And he's waiting for some Peters tonight that will say, Lord, I know that's you. I've never seen you like that before. I've never seen you walk on water, but I discern that that's you because I know your nature. I know your character. I know who you are, and I know that's you. So, Lord, can I come to you? Can I step out of the boat of familiarity? Can I step out of the boat of comfort zone? Can I step out of what I know and step into the unknown? Can I go to that place? And Jesus says, come. Come. It's a prophetic invitation into unexplored territory. It's prophetic invitation into a dimension of God that you've never seen before. Because let me tell you something, God is bigger than you think he is. He's more than what you think he is. He's capable of more than what you've seen. Are you willing to come? Are you willing to come? It's going to cost you. It's going to cost you your comfort. It's going to cost you the crowd. Because Peter was the only one that was willing to step out of the boat. The other disciples were too afraid to do it. It's gonna cost you to step into things that other people aren't stepping into. Are you listening? He says, "Behold, I do a new thing. And it shall spring forth." In other words, it's going to happen suddenly. It's going to happen quickly. Somebody say suddenly. Some translation says, suddenly it shall spring forth. He will make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. Why is that so significant? Because a desert is not known for rivers. It's totally antithetical to what the desert is. It's totally unfamiliar that a river would flow in the desert. But that's what God is about to do. In fact, let me retract that statement. He's not about to do it. He's already done it. And I believe, now listen, if we were to go outside here in Sydney, and it's a beautiful day today, but if you see the clouds, or if the humidity in the air changed, you would know that the weather's about to shift, that maybe it's about to rain. Jesus said to the Pharisees, it says, you wicked generation, you can discern the weather, the sky, the signs that it's going to, you can come outside and say it's going to rain by evening. He said, but you can't discern the signs of the times. And let me tell you something. When we talk about the signs of the times, we're not just talking about, the mark of the beast and 666 and all this kind of thing, the Tim LaHaye left behind. When we talk about the signs of the times, what we're really talking about, when you study the book of Revelation, the word revelation is the Greek word apokalypsis. It means the unveiling. In other words, Jesus is preparing the church to unveil his plan and purpose in the earth. He's preparing the church for something the church has never seen before. And because the church has never seen it before, the only way the church can experience it is by revelation. Are you listening? God's about to do something you've never seen before. God's about to take you to places you've never been before. God's about to bring you into experiences that you don't even have a grid for because you've never been there. It's new. It's not recycled. It's new. It's not repurposed. It's new. You've never seen it before. You've never been there before. It requires faith and audacity. You know what's happening here in Australia? There's a hunger brewing. But people don't know it's a hunger. They think it's frustration. Frustration is often the disguise of spiritual hunger. When you become discontented with where you're at and what you're actually experiencing is the Holy Spirit invoking you and provoking you to step into something different from what you know. So your frustration is actually the activator for your faith. Lord, send revival. You wouldn't know revival if it hit you upside your head. Do you really want that you're asking for? Lord, awaken Australia. We need awakening. We need revival. Are you ready for that? Are you really ready for what you're asking for? Are you really ready for something new? Because let me tell you something. The Bible says a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. You can't ask for the new while you're holding on to the old. And there's been a religious witchcraft that's been trying to subdue, to arrest, and to seize the move of God that he's beginning even now. Are you listening to me? And we don't realize that our addiction to control is the very thing that's suffocating the move of God in our lives. You know, I found out something. Y'all ready to hear this? I found out something that we only have one heart. Somebody say one heart. Say it louder. Say one heart. Say it like you really mean it. Say one heart. You only have one heart. Did you know that? You don't have two, three, four hearts. That's why the Apostle John writes in his epistle, he says, you can't love God and hate your brother. How can you love God whom you've never seen and hate your brother that's right in front of you? The principle is that we only have one heart. Okay? Are you listening? We only have one heart. So watch this. There is actually a direct correlation between my horizontal relationships and my vertical relationship. Y'all ready to go deep tonight? I'm telling you, I'm going to take you here. You've heard this concept in Australia, tall poppy syndrome. Okay, now let me show you that. Let me show you this. Essentially what it says is that if somebody goes higher, then it's my responsibility to bring them back down to size. Right? Is that how it goes? Yeah. Who do you think you are? Guess what happens? That same spirit that is actually opposed to the elevation of the person next to you, it's actually the same spirit that causes us to resist the new thing God wants to do in our own life. Because whether we know it or not, subconsciously we're saying, God, who do you think you are? You can't do that. I never... Let me show you something. It's going to get good. Don't worry. Watch this. Go over here to the gospel. I want to prophesy over you in Jesus' name. Look at what he says over here in Mark chapter. Well, let's start with Matthew chapter 9, verse 17. No, verse 16. Look at this. Jesus says, no man puts a piece of new cloth on an old garment, for that which put into fill up taketh from the garment, and the rent is made worse. Neither do men put new wine into old bottles. Else the bottles break, and the wine runs out, and the bottle perishes. But they put new wine into new bottles, and both are preserved. What is God saying? He said, I'm releasing the new wine. I'm releasing the new wine. I'm releasing the new wine. But watch this. In order to receive the new wine, it requires a new wineskin. Means you got to change. Change your perspective. Jesus preaches, says, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. You know what that really means? The word repent, metanoeo, it means to change your mind. In other words, a new kingdom is coming. You got to think differently to enter into it. I'm getting excited. Australia. God says something new is on the horizon, but you got to change. We have to change our notion of what it means. Listen, our worship. Let me tell you something. Your worship is not 15 minutes or 20 minutes before the preaching starts. Your worship is a lifestyle that you embrace. You were created to worship God. You are a spiritual being made in the image of God, and your worship begins when you wake up in the morning and you breathe fresh air and you say, this is the air I breathe. Your holy presence living in me. I was created to worship you, and God is raising up a generation of worshipers. He's raising up a generation of prophetic intercessors. He's raising up a generation of people that know their God. And they know their God and they do exploits because they know who God is. They don't need the pastor to teach them who God is, because they have the Spirit of God on the inside of them. We need pastors. We honor pastors. But what I'm telling you something, your pastor's word shouldn't be the first time you cracked open your Bible that week. So number one, understand, God's doing a new thing. Say that with me. Say, God's doing. No. That wasn't even Australia. That was New Zealand right there. I'm just joking. Listen, I'm joking. I don't want to start a fight in the church, amen? I don't want to start a fight. Somebody say, God's doing a new thing. Say it one more time. He's doing a new thing. God's doing something new in your life. Do something new in my life. Something new in my life. Something new in my life for me. God's doing a new thing in your life. I just got to keep saying it. He's doing something new in your life. I don't care what the old season has been. This is a new season for you. I don't care the old limitations. This is a new season for you. I don't care the old roadblocks. This is a new season for you. And all you got to do is believe the word of the Lord. Just believe. We are entering into an age of such supernatural dimensions. Watch this, because what God is releasing, you know what he's inviting us into? Not only the new, he's inviting us into the now. A now season. The church is entering into the now. Because in the past, the church was stuck in the future. Let me explain that to you. The Bible says in Mark chapter 11, verses 22 through 24, it says, have faith in God. Whoever says to the mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but believe that what he says shall come to pass, will have what he says. Then it says this in the 23rd or 24th verse. It says, therefore, when you pray, believe that you have received. In other words, watch this. What was Jesus doing? He was inviting them into the now. Not God's going to do it, but Lord, I receive it as already done. Now, the reason why this is prophetic and profound is because we are entering into a now dimension in the church. Prophetically, the church is entering into a now season. What does that mean? Things that used to take years will take moments. Moments. I was in Billings, Montana, and a woman came for prayer. She came down to the altar right here. She came down to the altar, and I said to her, I looked at her. I never met her before, never saw this woman before. I said, the house is yours. She fell on the ground, began to cry. This was the 10 a.m. service that Sunday morning. There was another 5:30 service later that night. So when I gave her the word, I went about my business. Because, listen, the word of the prophet is an invitation into the now. So at the end of the beginning of the 5:30 service, she walks up to me and hands me a piece of paper. And I read the piece of paper. There's a note, and it says, I'm the woman you prophesied over. And after the first service, I went directly to my realtor. And when I went to the realtor, he said, the house is yours. Which was the exact word that I gave her, the house is yours. I didn't know she was looking for a house, but the Lord told me to tell her the house is yours. Why? We're entering into a prophetic season where God is condensing time. It will spring forth. It won't be gradual, it'll be a springing forth. Like a gusher, like a hot spring, a geyser that comes out of the earth and the water just bursts out. That's what we're in, a bursting season where the power of God, the presence of God is bursting forth. And dry places are about to be saturated with the glory of God. I feel the Holy Ghost in here. Dry places, barren places. Rejoice, O you barren. Rejoice. Rejoice. Why? Because more are the children of the barren woman than the married woman. That's what it says in Isaiah. God's shifting things. I feel the Holy Ghost tonight. God's shifting things in the spirit. He's shifting things in the realm of the spirit. And he's releasing an outpouring on the earth. He's releasing an outpouring on your life. And all you got to do is say yes to God. You don't have to know how. We know too much for our own good. Just know everything. We figure everything out. That's the problem in the Western world. You got an answer for everything. But we need to get back to childlike faith. Just believe God. Listen, are y'all ready for this tonight? I don't know if you're ready for it. Let me tell you something. We're entering into a season where churches that were stuck in a rut, they were stuck in a stagnant season. In days, the churches will explode with thousands of people. It's happened before. Read the book of Acts chapter 2. Peter preached a 15-minute sermon, and 120 people became 3,120 in 15 minutes. That's the season that we're in. So what is our responsibility? Our responsibility is to prepare the way. Our responsibility is to make sure that we have the new wineskin, because God's pouring out new wine. But you got to make sure that what you are carrying can contain what God is doing. God's raising up prophetic hubs all throughout Australia. prophetic hubs, apostolic hubs, places of glory. Places, listen to this, where the manifest presence abides. And what's that? What's going to be the significance of that? People are making a mass exodus out of dry places. And they're looking for living water. You are the catalyst. You are the chosen ones in this room right now. Somebody say, I'm chosen to release the new thing that God desires to do. Oh, I'm giving you a prophetic word. You better say what I'm telling you. You're chosen to release the new thing that God desires to do. I'm an agent of the new thing. I'm a carrier of the new thing. I am a distributor of the new wine. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I was in a healing meeting years ago and I was praying for sick people. And guess how many people got healed? Zero. And God told me, he says, Kenan, you're not dealing with the right issue. You got to pray for the right thing. And I began to pray for people. And God said, open up an altar for people to release bitterness, unforgiveness, offense. An altar was full. About 400 people came down to the altar, all with chronic conditions, fibromyalgia, rheumatoid arthritis, multiple sclerosis, autoimmune disorders, lupus. And they came and I took them through a prayer and instantly they were healed. People that had fibromyalgia for 20 years were healed in 20 minutes. That's the new wineskin. That's the new wineskin. It's going to cost you. It's going to cost you your convenience. It's going to cost you your comfort. And it may cost you your company. The company you keep. Have you noticed that some of you guys have been dealing with you, pulling on you? And what people begin to do when God's pulling on you and dealing with you, they say, you know, it doesn't take all that. I mean, what are you doing? Just relax. But there's fire shut up in your bones. And you can't relax and you can't just sit back because you know God wants to do something new. You know that God is pulling on you. You know God's inviting you into a deeper dimension. You know God's taking you into a greater place. You know there's a greater glory that he wants to release on your life. You know that there's a supernatural God that is real and relevant and tangible and you want to experience him. You don't want to just go to church for 15 minutes and hear a motivational sermon, but you want an encounter with God that will radically change your life, that will shift your family, your destiny, your future, your business, everything. And you feel it deep down inside. And it's a fire inside of you. Now, I love Australia because you guys are so conservative. It's wonderful. It's beautiful. It's the most lovely thing I've ever seen. The last time I was here, we would do meetings And people would just sit there, like some of you are sitting here now, and they would just look and say, hmm. And then after the service, I would come and people would say, oh my God, man of God, that was amazing. The glory, I said, really? You were amazed by that? That's amazement?
I love it. It's beautiful. But it doesn't matter how you express yourself. What matters is that you get it. Amen.
Amen.
Somebody say, I receive it.
Like
you really mean it. I receive it. Come on, you receive the new wine. Ooh, glory to God.
Go to John chapter 4, and I'm sorry, John chapter 2, and I'm gonna close, and I want to just pray for us. I've come here tonight to deposit hunger. I've come here to give you a taste of the new wine so that you will begin to prepare the new wineskin to accommodate what God desires to do. The day is coming where God's going to tell you to go to Papua New Guinea, go to Fiji, go to India, and you're going to be like a man that God told to go to India. It's a true story. God told the man to go to India, but he was being disobedient. I don't want to go to India. I want to stay here in the United States. I feel good here. Lord, this is a blessed land here. I don't want to go to India, deal with those demons over there. God said, I want you to go now. He said, I want to go now. So he didn't have any money anyway. So he said, I'm not going over there. And guess what? He said, okay, God, I'll go. And he goes to the airport with no passport, no money, no plane ticket. God said, I told you to go. Just go. He said, Lord, then I don't have. And he was trying to be facetious and prove to God, look, I did what you said and it didn't work out. So he gets to the counter and he's believing for something supernatural to happen. Gets to the counter, nothing happens. He said, okay. And he runs in the bathroom. You know they have bathrooms in the airport and the common areas. And he goes into one of the common areas and God said, I told you to go. And when I tell you to do something, you do it. Don't try to figure it out. Just do it. He said, okay, God. He's in the stall arguing with God with all the men in the bathroom. Okay, God, I'll go. He steps out of the bathroom. He's in Mumbai, India. So you missed that. Y'all not ready for this tonight. See, I'm trying to give you the new wineskin. There was a missionary, I believe he was either in the Philippines or somewhere like that, or an Asian country. And he had to do a revival meeting, but he had stayed behind praying, and the team went hours before him, about 4 hours before him, and the meeting was beginning to start. And he was late, left behind in his room. And he said, God, I'm going to miss the meeting because it takes 4 hours to get there. He was praying in his little tent wherever he was staying and just praying in the spirit, praying in tongues. And he says, God, so he opens the door to go outside and he's inside the meeting. You see, some of y'all looking strange. Really? The witches do it. They do. Yeah, that's why some of you guys get troubled at nighttime because it's called astral projection. And demons and witches and people in the witchcraft projecting themselves and afflicting the saints, and saints don't even know what's happening. How many know if the devil can do it, it means that he's the counterfeit of what God's already done. Yeah. The spiritual realm is more real than the natural. Yes, it is. There's a lady named Katie Souza. You ever heard of her, Katie Souza? And Katie Souza gave a testimony. I don't know her personally, but she knows one of my spiritual brothers in the Lord. And they preach together all the time. And she was sharing a testimony of how she had this huge debt of $250,000 to pay.
And I think it had to do with her home or something like that. And she was praying in her room and was caught up in the spirit. And she found herself in heaven, in the courtyard of heaven. And she, I don't know if it was Jesus or an angel, but they gave her a big diamond the size of a bowling ball. And she was just enjoying that diamond, saying, wow, this is beautiful. I'm going to take this back to earth with me, and it's going to be wonderful. And she comes out of the vision, her hands are empty. She's, oh, man. I thought I was going to take this big diamond back. 15 minutes later, somebody calls her and says, listen, I don't know why I'm doing this, but the Lord told me to give you $250,000 to pay off your home. And they're all looking strange. But let me tell you something. If the church doesn't become the supernatural church that we were created to be, we're going to get left behind. People are tired of a powerless God. People are tired of religion and tradition and a form of godliness with no power. People are done with that. And we got to stop blaming millennials for not wanting to come to our dead churches. They don't want to come to your church. They want to see something real. They want something powerful. They want something that will change them and shake them and shift them. And God has given us the codex for this. He's given us the recipe for what he desires to do. God says, I'm doing a new thing. I'm doing a new thing. It's not going to look like the old. It's not going to be, listen, it's not going to be the old wineskin. You can't put new wine in old wineskin because the old wineskin cannot contain it. It will burst. God's challenging us tonight, and I'm going to close in a minute. God's challenging us tonight. You want to see revival? Just say yes.
Yes.
That's all you got to do. You see, let me explain something to you. Revival takes place when revived people take action. Some of you, there are a number of you in here, you are actually, you don't realize it, but you're marketplace apostles. What does that mean? Your responsibility is to bring the presence and power of God into manifestation within your sphere of influence. And God's going to do signs and wonders through you. See, the signs and wonders have to go outside of the four walls of the church and into the world, into the culture. Are you listening? John chapter 2, and we're going to close. Listen to this. Glory to God. John chapter 2. Y'all here tonight? Are you okay?
Amen.
You ready to go home? You ready to go already? Some of you are ready to go home, so let me hurry up and get you home. Amen. I was preaching in Belgium at an African church. I went to church at 9 a.m. in the morning. I left that church 12 a.m. midnight the next day. But guess what? Deliverance was taking place. Demons were coming out of people. You see, the move of God will cost you your convenience. Oh, I got to do this. I'm going to read the scripture and go on about my business. But oh, Jesus, help me. The reality is some of us are not been ready for what we're asking for. God, do a miracle in my life this morning. But do it before 12 o'clock because I got to watch the rugby game. But God, just do it. Do it right now. Thank you, Jesus. It's going to cost you. It's going to cost you. It's going to cost you. And this is the last word I want to give you. The new thing shall spring forth speedily. The new thing will be greater than the old. The new thing is happening in the now. Right? But watch this. The new thing requires a divine instruction. John 2, listen to this. And the third day there was a marriage in Cana of Galilee. And the mother of Jesus was there. And both Jesus was called and his disciples to the marriage. And when they wanted wine, the mother of Jesus said unto him, they have no wine. Jesus said unto her, woman, what have I to do with you? My hour is not come. Listen to this. I want to show you something. Can I tell you this real quickly? Come on, if I can tell you quickly, say yes to this.
Yes.
Jesus is not saying no. He's not saying no. You see, Mary knows her son. She comes to him and says, we need some new wine because the old wine has run out. Did you catch that? We need some wine because the old wine is finished. We need something new. She comes to Jesus and Jesus says, you know what, woman, that's none of my business. My hour is not yet come. And what he's actually doing, he's not denying her. He's issuing a challenge. He's saying to her, if you want this miracle, it will require you to initiate it by your faith and your audacity and your diligence. I'm not moving from my seat right now. You're going to have to initiate this. She understands the language he's speaking. See, sometimes God will hide in the shadows, not because he wants to resist you or say no to you, but he wants to see if you're willing to press in to a greater reality. He wants to see if you're willing to inconvenience yourself to get what you say you want from God. Like the Syrophoenician woman, she comes to Jesus and says, Jesus, would you deliver my daughter? She's vexed with the devil. He says, it's not meet to give the children's bread to dogs. I know she was not an Australian. Because an Australian would have said, who do you think you are, mate? You don't talk to me like that. But she had a culture of honor and a spirit of desperation. And she said, yes, Lord. Yes, God. But even the dogs eat the crumbs from their master's table. And Jesus was so moved by her audacious faith, her audacity, her tenacity, her willingness to press beyond her comfort zone and the no and the rejection. I don't care what you're saying, Jesus. God's gonna bless me even if I have to be rejected by you, even if you have to offend me. I will not let offense keep me out of the blessing. And she presses into the miracle. Jesus is so moved, he says, my God, your faith has made you whole. He was moved. Mary comes to Jesus and says, hey, we need some wine. We've run out of wine. Could you help us? He says, woman, it's not my time yet. And what does she do? She goes to the servants. She initiates this thing. No miracle in the Bible ever takes place without human participation. If you don't believe me, God comes to Moses. Moses says, how am I going to do these miracles? He says, what's in your hand? They get to the Red Sea. They're about to drown in the Red Sea. And Moses said, Lord, help us. He said, what's in your hand? Miracles require human participation. Mary says, okay, I know what to do. Stand up, Pastor, real quick, please. She goes to the servant, and she gives them the marketing strategy for Nike. And she says, whatever he says, just do it. Mary was the first CEO and chief operating officer of Nike. You may be seated. I'm going to show you something. She said, whatever he says, just do it. They come to Jesus, and this is what he says. And I'm closing with this. Where did my Bible go? Okay, you ready for this? And his mother said unto the servants, whatever he says unto you, just do it. Watch this. And there were there 6 water pots. Now, the Bible is very intentional about numbers. What does the number 6 represent? Man was created on the 6th day. It's the number of creation. It's the number of authority. It's the number of man. Are you seeing this? Because he's about to do a creative miracle. Oh, come on, Australia. He's about to do a creative miracle. And he says, and there were 6 water pots after the manner of the purifying of the Jews, containing 2 or 3 firkins apiece. Jesus said unto them, fill the water pots with water. And they fill them up to the brim. Now, this is important. Water is natural. Okay. Water is natural. This is what he's telling them to do. What you got to do is you got to fill your pot with what you already have. Because God's about to put his super on your natural. Amen. What's in your hand? What has he already told you? What has he already given you? God says, are you willing to leverage what I've put in your hand? Are you willing to be a vessel that I can fill to the brim? Are you listening to me? And this is what happens. This is what the Bible says. And he says, fill them to the brim. Somebody say, fill me to the brim.
Fill me to the brim.
Lift your hands right now. Say, fill me to the brim. Lord, I want to be filled to overflow. God, I want you to fill me. Come on, just talk to the Lord quickly. Just tell him to fill you up. God, fill us up tonight in the name of Jesus. Now look at this, look at this, look at this, look at this. And I'm closing. He says, draw out when? Are y'all not ready for this? Draw out now. Draw out now. Whatever they're about to receive, it's in the now. Draw out now. The divine kairos, the divine timing of God, the now of God. Jesus invites them into the now. And when they draw from the now, the water turns to wine. Oh, you missed it. You'll get it next week. When they draw from the now, the water turns into wine. It was just water. But they had to do something to activate the miracle. Tonight, God's going to speak to many of you. He's going to give you a divine instruction. He's going to tell you what to do. And in that instruction is an invitation into the now. And if you'll step into the now, that's where the miracle, that's where the signs and the wonders dwell. Stand to your feet quickly.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. We declare the heavens open over this place. We declare the heavens open over this land. God says, behold, I'm doing a new thing. It's going to happen right now. I'm making a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. I want to prophesy to you tonight. Some of you have been in a dry season. Nothing's looked like it's moving. It's because God's inviting you into the now. Your frustration is actually an indicator that a miracle is about to manifest. I feel the presence of God in this place. He's doing a new thing in Australia. He's doing a new thing in the Hive Church. Lift your hands, lift your hands. Can I just prophesy? If you're part of the Hive Church, I challenge you. The Bible says a workman is worthy of his hire. Listen to God concerning how he would have you to minister to your pastors. They shouldn't struggle. That's not God's will. God's going to speak some things tonight that will challenge you. He's talking to some of you right now. He's telling you to change some things in your life. Hallelujah. Father, we break the spirit of witchcraft off of your people. We break the spirit of bondage. Oh, I feel the Holy Ghost tonight. Off of your people in the name of Jesus. We break the spirit of drought off of this land. And we declare that Australia is an oasis of revival and awakening. The great Southland of the Holy Spirit. I prophesy that even as people are walking the streets of Sydney, that they will walk into glory zones. And they'll be arrested by the presence of God. Tonight, Lord, open this night as a glory zone. There are two angels here I want to acknowledge. There are some angels here. There are two of them here that are very special. One is named Goodness and the other one's Mercy. And they've been following us all the days of our lives. Come on, lift your hands. Begin to pray in the spirit if you know how. Come on, open your mouth.
Thank you for a wave of the new wine tonight, Lord. Come on, open your mouth. Begin to declare it. Begin to declare it in the spirit. Begin to declare it. This church will never be the same. This region will never be the same. This nation will never be the same. These families will never be the same. Thank you for the new wine and the new wineskin tonight, God. Thank you for an impartation of glory. Thank you for an impartation of your prophetic anointing. Thank you for an impartation of supernatural faith to believe what you say, no matter what it looks like, no matter how it feels, no matter what I think about it. If you said it, it settles it. If you say it, I believe it. If you promise it, I receive it. I don't care what my mother says or my father says or the people that spoke over my life, but I declare this is a new season in my life. Come on, lift your hands. Keep your hands lifted. You, sister here, come. Yeah. Kurabarabasi.